There we go. And we are recording. All right. And I think we're just about there. And we are live. Excellent. Good stuff. Hey, folks. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Geocaching Podcast. We're about to start up here. Lots of stuff to go over tonight. And kudos, special kudos to Sarah, a.k.a. Info Ferret. It is now 3:30 in the morning there now, Sarah?
Yep. Yes, it is.
She's in France. So, and Scott's the one that's yawning. I'm just saying. It's going to be one of those shows. All right, folks. Let's see. I think we're all set. Sit back, relax, get your favorite libation. I know it'll wake them up. Sit back, relax, get your favorite libation, your favorite snack. The Geocaching Podcast, whether you're alive or asleep or whatever, is going to be coming at you right about, right about now.
You want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 512, recorded live on September 27th, 2017. I'm your host, Head Hard Hat with
Scott Burks.
Wake up, Scott.
That's 427. And
Info Ferret.
Oh, you can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. Also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by our good patrons of the Geocaching Podcast. To become a contributing patron, simply click on our Patreon or PayPal logos on our webpage to help keep our podcast going. From all of us at the Geocaching Podcast, we thank you. So, yeah, we've got a lot of things going on. Scott's trying to stay awake. Sarah is really trying to stay awake because it's 3:30 in the morning in France, where she's at, and she was good enough to come and join us. I don't know if the rest of us would do that. That's early in the morning. Wake up, Scott.
You're about 10 minutes away from me going to bed.
I'm just saying.
I'll be asleep.
This is the sleepover version of the show tonight. And
so this is why Mark Dowding never comes on our show.
Yes, because staying awake like that is like, holy cow.
Right.
Well, no, I went to bed early, and reckoned if the phone woke me, and it did.
All right.
So you're up. So you already went to bed. You're awake. It's morning for you.
So one of those, you went to sleep too damn early, and now you woke up at 3 a.m. and can't get back to sleep.
I have been there before. Most of the time, I'm going to bed about then, so I'm just saying.
No, I'm a lark.
My younger days.
Yes.
I'm a lark rather than a night owl, so it doesn't bother me.
See? There it goes. Let's see. I've been kind of on a short hiatus for the past couple of weeks, so I didn't really get a lot of chance to go out geocaching. It's actually today we are getting the last, I could use a different word than breath from Hurricane Maria, but we're getting the last wisps of her as she passes by North Carolina. So it actually heated up towards the 90s again today. And then tomorrow, it's in the 70s, so I'm hoping for that. That's my kind of weather. That's where I really like to go out and do some serious wood geocaching.
Yep.
But that's how it's going for me. Scott, how about you?
Has anyone seen the weather in Chicago lately?
No, attention? I haven't seen.
I saw someone crying about it being 90. I don't know who that was.
Really?
We broke records here. I mean, late September, Chicago, it was 95. 93.
Wow.
For like 5 days, we broke every record.
Holy cow.
I guess the average record's like 71 in late September, and it was like 90, 95.
Wow.
Like my poor kids playing football in 95 degree heat on Saturday.
Lots of Gatorade.
I mean, I was sweating just sitting there watching the game. Okay. And then the weather, like yesterday, like just as dinner time came, it just dropped to the 60s and just stayed there. Right now it's about, you know, it was like 72 today was the high.
Oh yeah, that's what it's supposed to be for
this
us.
This is fall weather. I mean, it was weird because it was 95 degrees, but the sun was going down at like 7. You know, so it was, you know, when it's that hot in Chicago, used to the sun going down at 9:30, at like 7:15.
It's like somebody threw the switch.
Yeah, it's like the leaves are falling and it's 90 degrees. It was really weird. It was like things didn't add up, you know. So it's nice to be back in the lower 70s and nice crisp fall weather. I could finally have my, you know, my pumpkin spice.
I was gonna say,
it'll be
90
degrees outside.
All the apples at the cider mills are going, what the heck?
Yeah. So unfortunately, I had my kids, so I didn't get much cashing done. I had an event, but that's about it. This weekend.
All right. Sounds good. And Taz, looks like you've been busy.
Yeah. Well, last week it was nice and only in the 80s. This week it's been in the 90s for the past few days. Got a couple more days of the 90s, and then we'll be back down in the 80s, which is nice and cool. But
comparatively,
I participated in my third Yolo County rally. So our team slipped in the standings this year compared to previous years, but we were still in the top third of the 33 teams that were competing. So not too horrible. So there were around, 150 cashers or so at the event. So that's a lot of cashers at the event. We got two FTFs, two earth caches, two Warigos, three multi caches, three puzzles, letterbox, a number of photo ops. So all the regular caches got turned into real caches as well. So those FTFs count as real FTFs. So that's pretty cool. Had a great weekend. That was the fifth overall Yolo County rally, but my third time attending. So hopefully it keeps going. But the owners or the people that had been putting on the Yolo County challenge have moved out of the county to so they're not going to be doing it anymore. So hopefully someone picks it up. I can't pick it up because it's an hour and a half away. Otherwise I would, you know, I'd love to at least help out on it, but hopefully someone picks it up next year, because that's a great event.
Is there a statewide geocaching association that does it for California?
You know, I'm not sure if there's a statewide caching association. We have several associations that are local associations. Here we have the Sacramento River City Geocaching Association. But while they hold a few events, it's not really organizing a lot of these big events like this. So I don't know. Maybe we can get something going. So I'm going to talk to a few people and see if we can't keep this thing going.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool. Big undertaking, especially when you've got that many cashers coming to it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And they always put out at least probably 30 brand new caches, a lot of them really cool caches, of usually six or seven different cache types out there. So like I said, you know, we found some earth caches, some Warigos, multi caches, field puzzles, traditionals. Found a letterbox as well. So yeah, that's six types right there.
Yeah, really. I think we just lost France.
You will never lose a
France. Where are you from? France.
Like she's actually sleeping? Or
I no, she dropped off just like
lost,
2 seconds
she lost
ago.
Connection.
Well, she's bless her heart. So we'll see what happens with Sarah. I'm sure she's got if she can remember. I don't care what happens. If I'm waking up, I mean talking going fishing in the morning, getting up 3:30 in the morning.
I never get up at 3:30 in the morning.
Can't. It's like, oh.
Usually
I don't go to bed. If it's 3:30, I just don't go to bed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Usually I'm getting on a 6 a.m. flight if I'm waking up at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I mean, the red eye, but even then it's like, Sarah, you with us?
Yeah, sorry, I don't know what happened there. I just
you nodded off onto your phone is what it is.
Yeah. Anyway.
So how's things up in France?
Nice, hot, clear sky. You can see the stars. Shorts weather. No, I've had an interesting couple of weeks. It's been... went out with a friend a week ago Sunday, and we hit around back blocks of the Wairarapa and found about 40 caches. Didn't have an encounter with a security guard or LEO or anything like that. But there was one who said, oh, go down this road. There's one just down this track, and narrow track, off. And we got to a stage where we found that there'd been a slight landslip in a tree across the track. And I had to revert. I hate reversing at the best of times. Town car, not a town road, reversing uphill, round a curve, nowhere to turn round without getting the car stuck for probably was only about 150 metres, but it felt like about 4 miles.
Wow.
And this week we've been up to... I've been a real, real stress bunny because there's a problem with the main fuel supply to Auckland Airport. A digger damaged the only way the fuel gets to the aircraft. So flights were being cancelled left, right and centre, and fuel was being limited to the amount that they supply to planes. So instead of going Auckland, KL, London, nice quick 2 hour changeovers, they were setting the planes off from Auckland to Aussie with just enough fuel to get them over there, siphoning some more into the tanks and then taking them on to wherever else they needed to go.
So you're flying from one continent to the next just to get some more gas.
Yeah, just to siphon a bit more into the tank. So, of course, I missed the connection. It wasn't a problem. I was booked on the next one. But 11-hour layover in KL. So I braved immigration, went and found a cache by the airport. Oh, God, it was, as my son put it, was like he'd imagine walking through a sauna. And that was at 10 a.m. So God knows what it's like.
Do you get a Malaysian souvenir for getting a cache there in Kuala Lumpur?
If there's a country souvenir, yeah, I've not really had time to check. I mean, I'm caching purely off my phone at the moment rather than off my computer. And I'm with the rest of the family role models, so the amount of actual numbers is crap. But I did manage to pick up the one in Nice Airport yesterday.
Wow, in Malaysia, I mean, besides the humidity, there's only about it can't be much worse than Australia, where, you know, everything there wants to kill you. And in Malaysia, I've always imagined kind of the same thing: mosquitoes the size of eagles, and bad-tempered snakes and all the rest of it.
Well, there wasn't anything I noticed within sort of 200 meters of the airport. But it was, you know, it was a sort of, I had 11 hours and I was so glad to get back into the air-conditioned airport afterwards and have it and find a shower and calm down.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And cool down and get back to normal. But, yeah, I'm almost over jet lag now.
Very nice.
Going around the south of France, bit of a nostalgia trip for my parents. In poor teenage lad, he's getting so much history and information rammed down his throat. Well, but anyway, we went over to York a couple of days ago. We went over to York in the north of England, which is an old, very old city. And in some of the inscriptions and plaques, where they put, for example, where they put 71. That's not because they've forgotten the first two numbers.
That's the original date.
Yeah. Well, wow. The Romans turned up there in 71 AD.
Wow. I cannot imagine seeing something that old.
Yeah. As I say, for me, it's an unashamed nostalgia trip.
Oh, yeah. See, for Americans, let's face it, we've got, 241 years or so worth of things you find. Most gravestones, and I'm in the southeast part of the country, so I'm in one of the older sections. You may see something from 1700s if you look hard enough, and that's about it.
Compared to New Zealand, where most of the immigrants, the Pākehā settlers, only really count anything from 1840 onwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, there was Maori history and artifacts and things from about 1200. It depends on who you are, you know, on what the archaeologists say.
Right.
But most Maori history is oral.
Wow.
And so that it, you know, so there's wood carvings and the odd thing that's been passed down and stories and legends, but there's nothing, you know. But there's, I think, one of the oldest buildings in that I can think of in New Zealand's of only about 1840s-ish at the Kerikeri stone store.
Right.
So,
wow,
it's not a huge, you know. So it's, as I say, the poor little soul is getting history rammed down his gullet.
Yeah, but that's good stuff. That's stuff you'll remember, hopefully, yeah. When you, well, when you get on.
And apologies to those who are, which I'm keeping inflicting on the rest of the family on a regular basis.
All right, well, we'll look forward to, you've been sending a lot of pictures in that, too, on Facebook, so we'll be interested next week with the rest of your trip that you have. All right, let's move on to the podcast roundup, letting your viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community, what's coming up this week on GeoGearheads, and big, big congratulations to Daryl W4 and Chris of the Northwest. It is their 300th episode, and it's a randomized, what is LXI?
61.
Holy cow. But episode 3.
You beat me to it.
Episode 300. Congratulations, GeoGearheads, for everything that you guys have been doing. It's awesome. And this week with the randomized show, Landmucky joins Chris and Daryl to take on a pile of feedback.
Wait, wasn't he just on the show like last week?
Yeah, I know. He's kind of like Gopher. You know, not as bad as you, but
oh my
he's,
God,
he's been
Gopher
on.
Charo. You do that every time.
I know it. I
Gopher
know it.
Was a member of the show.
Yes, he was. He at the end, he started. Never mind. That was Julie that showed up every once in a while. But that's a whole different thing. And not that I had a crush on her or anything. I'm just saying.
What should she look like now?
I wouldn't even want to know. I wouldn't want to know what Gopher looks like.
Something. What's her real name?
I can't remember what she is.
Come on, I know you know. You're the quickest one to Google.
I have no idea.
Is it McKean or something like that?
Yeah,
or?
Something like that.
McKean.
No, that was Gavin McLeod. No, that was a different
she was
movie.
McKean too.
That was Stubing.
Warren Twos.
Twos, there you go.
What? Twos?
T-E-W-E-S.
Yes.
Really?
That and was Captain her name? Captain Stubing was.
She played Julie McCoy.
Yes.
Oh, that's what McCoy.
That's where McCoy's from. Yeah.
That's where I'm getting that from.
Just saying, memories. It was a long time ago.
She alive, Dan?
Yes, she's still alive.
She gotta be in like her 60s.
Oh, at least. And she was just a sweet little thing back then.
I know.
Just a young.
You guys sound like a BuzzFeed article.
I'm just saying. This is what we had left.
Oh, there you wait. Go. Chad's got a picture of her.
Hang on. Let me. There it is.
She developed a cocaine addiction. Where? When?
1984. All the fun things you learn about. Oh.
I didn't want to see that.
All right. She okay. is. She is.
It's cool.
She has turned into a previous presidential participant.
Oh. Thank you for ruining that for me, Taz.
Wow. Just here's this sweet picture of her when she was in the 80s and then wham.
Just whop. Welcome to your 60s.
Oh.
I'm so glad I'm doing this on audio.
I am like right. Hitting
yeah.
back.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's move on to it now. I take no knowledge whatsoever. Scott said, Andy, I sent you a soundbite. And I have no idea what it says, but it's in here. It's in the sound card, and I'm going to play it. So whatever happens, FCC, it's Scott's fault. All right, here we go.
I got mail. Yay.
That's our soundbite.
GCPC mail. Play it again.
Hot, play it again.
I got mail. Yay. I got mail. Yay.
Yeah. And we want to thank Scott for sending the soundbite, the new and improved soundbite for the GCPC mailbag. And of course, you can write into the GCPC mailbag by writing the GCPC mailbag at gmail.com. Send us your stuff. So go ahead, Scott.
Okay. This is from Larry.
Yes.
And he says, I have just finished watching this week's show. People actually watch this show?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
Andy, do you know the difference between watch and listen?
Yes. Watch is video and listen is not watching.
I got mail. No, I mean, like, what's the difference between people? What's people watching compared to people actually listening?
Yes. They actually do at work.
Watch is what you have on your wrist.
Is that what that is?
People watch. Andy, do people watch more or listen more?
Listen much more.
Okay.
Yes, we have a very large audience actually who listens to the podcast.
And this is I'm sure they think because when we do video stuff, I explain to them what's on the screen because most listen like I do.
Yes, network. Exactly.
Not this show, but the other show.
Exactly.
I don't have to listen to
or my show or any show. Of the other shows that Scott doesn't listen to. But that's all right.
I've just finished watching this week's show, and as usual, it was awesome. I have an idea for one of your future topics. See, I love when people do this. There you go. How to best handle a, air quote, rogue geocacher, especially when they are a premium member.
Oh, that's a good one.
And this is the topic for tonight's episode.
Absolutely. So we're going to move on with that. We're going to go into the news with a slightly different frame of...
Wait, hold on. I just got it on my lovely Apple Watch right here.
Yes?
That the Cubs have just won the National League title.
No way.
Yeah.
Is this the same Cubs that had a 108-year streak that just saying?
That won the World Series last year, and now they're back in the playoffs.
Oh, God, we got to go through this again. So Scott Burks is going to be gone for half the postseason, I'm just saying. We're just going to warn you now. All right, Kaz, you ready? I'm gonna push this other button over here. Let's see, which one is it? Oh yeah, this one.
The news.
Mine was so much better for the record.
Yeah, no. So, learn something new on International Earth Cache Day on Sunday, October 8th. Earn a new souvenir by learning all about the Earth. All you have to do is go out and find an Earth cache on International Earth Cache Day.
And that's not as easy as it sounded, because I think the closest Earth cache to me is like 80 miles. There's no close ones to me here.
I've been selective on the local Earth caches here. I've been finding Earth caches that are good distances away from me. So that way, on International Earth Cache Day.
No more cough syrup for you, sir.
I'll be able to circle back and grab one of those since it comes around once a year.
Yep.
So, and then also in the news, the 2017 GIF finalist, GIFF, geocaching. GIF.
For you graphics people out there.
Film Festival finalists are, blah, 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 drum roll, please.
Well, yes.
Go out on between November 2nd through November 6th of 2017 to a GIF event, and you'll find out.
Find out what?
Who the finalists are.
Right.
17 films.
And you could also use the link that we'll have in our show notes underneath where it says, and the 2017 GIF finalists are, and check it out yourself.
How many, like, not finalists do they have? How many, like, submissions do they get?
I don't know. Quite a few, but they got 17.
Just how much crap there is, probably.
You know?
Just a guy in like the woods going, I got mail, you know, something like that. Like, just
how many kids?
And that's why they limit the time that you can have on them.
Yes. Did you ever see when they have the opening auditions back for name the popular show that was on all the time with Seacrest? That one.
It was on Fox. Come on.
Yeah.
Idol.
Yeah, Idol. American Idol. They filled stadiums with people that said, I've got a voice, so that they could pull out the four there. Yeah. Good. It's kind of like
that. Put the crap on for 3 weeks.
Yes, exactly. So and that's the better that. Crap. Yes. That's not the stuff that never made it out of the auditorium.
So how come the GIF event doesn't give us the crap first?
That's the most entertaining part of America's Got Talent.
Right, yes.
It's like, if it wasn't for the crap on there, we probably wouldn't watch the show.
It was so bad, I loved it. I'm just saying.
Well, I think the people who've gone to the trouble of putting stuff in, if they don't get it in, get it accepted, just stick it on either YouTube or stick it on whatever social media they use, so they are around if you want to go look for them.
Mm-hmm. I think they should put all of the ones on there.
Oh, yeah. How many thousands of hours of fun?
They get thousands of hours? Do you really think they get thousands of hours?
You put in some commercials, I'm sure it could do something.
I'm sure they get a painful amount. Well,
and somebody's got to go through it.
Someone's got to watch all that.
You know, some intern's in the back corner with these bloodshot eyes going, I can't take it anymore.
I've been watching these for 3 days straight. Just crap, just nerds in the forest. I can't watch it anymore.
Well, you know, you were saying how your nearest Earth cache is miles away.
Yes.
Well, when I'm back in Wellington, there's one that's about 3 miles away. Well, there's one that's about 1 mile away from where I work.
You bragging?
Unfortunately, it's a 5.5, so it's not going to be got anytime soon.
Yeah, so it's interesting.
It's on the bucket list.
Yeah.
Because I've got to go over to South Island and do some stuff, and then do some stuff in Wellington, Lancet, and write a 5,000-word essay on something or other. Do it.
Yeah.
So is it a legitimate 5.5?
Yeah, I guess so. It involves...
It's in New Zealand. What's the worst that can happen? You got to knock off a couple of hobbits.
Climb a hill.
Are you just climbing a hill or a very steep hill, or do you need some other equipment?
You need other equipment. On the Nelson side of it, on the Southland side, you've got to get a sand sample from a certain location.
Holy cow.
Which is underwater at times.
Oh. Wow, that's a ARL. ALR.
And it's an old one. Probably wouldn't get through now, but hey, it's there. But what I will do is I'm planning to drive up from where my parents live up to Edinburgh, and because there's an Earth Cache event and an event there in Edinburgh around the Castle Rock, there are more Earth Caches than you can shake a stick at.
Wow.
There's probably about a good half dozen. So I'll hopefully get to the event and pick up a couple there and see what we can find.
Sarah, two Wombies in the chat room says, I think the one that Sarah's talking about means you have to visit various beaches around New Zealand on different islands and compare sands and stuff like that.
Wow.
And this is not a swan round in your bikini and your sun lounger.
What the heck's a sun lounger?
That's a chair.
Is that a chair?
Yeah. That you lounge in.
A floaty chair?
A floaty?
Could be.
Oh, God. No, the sort of thing that you see by the pools in hotels, usually
yeah.
The Germans have.
Yeah, the big ones. Okay. The ones that the kids try to sit next to me to stay in the shade. Those.
A lounger. I like that's way better. I like that better than a chair.
A lounger. A lounger, yes.
I like that.
More relaxing.
I know, totally.
Yes.
That is what it is. I like that.
Very much so.
What do we call it? We call it a chair, right?
No.
A lounge chair.
Yeah.
I like a lounger better.
Lounger.
I'm going to call them loungers from now on.
Wow.
Sit in the lounge watching TV.
Not at the hotels I stay at. Most of them have, the pool's half full. It's green with things squiggling around in it.
It's a breakfast.
Exactly. And that's usually like leftovers from last week's bagels. I'm just saying. All right, let's move on to the
crocodile and the alligator sitting in the
exactly
floating in the pool. It's not the inflatable variety.
That is an inflatable. I'm just telling you.
Things we flip it. Put the pancakes or waffles. You flip the waffle thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, those are great. Yes. The ones that you put 2 cups worth of stuff that should go in a quarter cup.
Flip it. Yeah, man.
And it all kind of spills over the side. You sit there with looking like an idiot while everybody looks at you as it turns into black smoke. Yes. Yeah. I love those hotels.
Hotel breakfast. Now I'm hungry for a hotel breakfast.
Made custom just for you.
We introduced Alan to the delights of a French hotel breakfast.
Croissant.
Oh,
croissant.
See, that just sounds better. To us, it's toast, but, you know, I'm just saying.
No, toast is
called different sort of pastry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. We'll move on to episode 512, How to Handle a Rogue Geocacher. And as said earlier in the show with Larry, he said, I've finished watching the show. How is it best to handle a rogue geocacher? And I can't not get...
Andy, for the record, Larry is in the chat room.
So oh, excellent. Thanks, you. We can talk to him. Welcome. Especially when they're a premium member. Yes, excellent idea. I recently encountered a new geocacher with hardly any finds that is a premium member. They logged a couple of my caches with language that was very inappropriate.
Like curse words or just like...
Descriptive words? I'm not sure, but it was inappropriate. I'm just saying. I realized they were new cashers and sent them a private message asking very nicely to please be careful with the language while writing the logs as mm-hmm. other cashers read them, and sometimes children or young people may read them as well. I was then responded to with a rage of inappropriate accusations and bad language. That's a winner.
Mm-hmm. He said the term, even their name was inappropriate.
Okay. Oh, jeez. Okay, so it just fits.
The name. Come on, you don't have to say that and not give the name. I've seen the best name I ever saw was Fuck Gumby. I had a howl cup for it. Fuck Gumby. Ever. I'm like, how did that get through? But that's amazing.
Wow.
Yep. Sorry about that.
That was good. I like that.
But it was a name, so it's a lot.
It's a name. So, yes, it's.
Well, you know when they name racehorses, and so the racing board decides trying to decide whether or not a racehorse name is allowed. They get people to shout them across the office to see how they'd sound with a commentator.
Well, the name that Larry said.
Here it comes, humping around the corner.
This racehorse was shy, tall, knight.
Let's not say what the name was, because this is a family-friendly show. But let's just say it has something to do with anal protrusion.
Show, I just dropped four F-bombs.
Yeah, we're cleaned up. We're fine.
Bugger, we can't say the name.
Yes, we can't say the name. But
if you're in the chat room, you can see the name.
You can see the name if you're in the chat room. It is inappropriate. One, so. But it does make you realize why this person wrote the way that they did.
It makes a lot more sense.
Yes.
My guess, it was a teen.
Or something. Yeah. Then that just draws a whole set of questions. I immediately realized where this was going and responded with, this conversation is ended. I then removed their logs on my caches. Within a couple of days, I was getting log messages from other cachers stating that some of my caches had been destroyed. Okay, so this is where things get ugly.
Okay, so this is so you deleted logs,
right?
If I'm understanding correctly.
Yes.
I think that's where the problem arose. Can you delete? I guess you can delete a log. Yeah.
If it's inappropriate, absolutely.
If it's inappropriate,
can.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I would.
And I'm assuming that Larry asked him to
rewrite
correctly.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. People do that all the time.
Yeah. He goes on to say, although I am sure it was this rogue cacher, I could not prove it. This has since stopped, and I have checked this person's profile and noticed that they've never logged any more finds. I assume they felt that geocaching was not for them. I'm sure this does not happen often, but I am curious on how you folks think this type of thing should be handled.
Well, you know, I'll say right off the bat, I think you did an excellent job handling
yes.
it. Unfortunately,
yeah.
it's a situation where you got a a-hole
yes.
Cashier that no matter what you did,
it's not going to
matter. You were screwed. I mean,
yeah.
you just had luck of the draw.
Yeah, and I also think, like, I'd be shocked if he keeps on caching, judging by that. I mean, you see he's a premium cashier, but he probably didn't even know it's free. He probably just signed up because, you know, you sign up and you pay the money.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked. We'll see if, I mean, you know, how many, what's the percentage of cashers that find, you know, find 20 and that's it?
You would be surprised. Yeah, you want to know do you want to know the exact stats? I was told it by a flunky from HQ. They do not. They count a geocacher for I think it's up to a year. Mm-hmm. Three fines. The majority of them, three fines or less, is the average.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was me up until June. I had like three fines.
Yeah, and you had a slow year. So,
well, he says he's noticed that they still haven't found any more caches since then.
Right. And it very well could be that he probably took it off his phone and put Pokemon on and then went off that way and went on with the next latest fad, which is, you know, good riddance to bad blood, you know, as far as I'm concerned. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if you want, you could send a note to Groundshook just saying, hey, heads up, this guy did this with the name so they have the name on record.
But yeah,
if you're saying he's not even finding anymore, it's probably, you know, I mean, I've had must-word situations. I got two Wammies in the chat room. He says there's one here in Christchurch, my favorite town, Christchurch. Someone steals caches and leaves notes saying, you have been muggled by smelly toes. A few of us are suspicious of who it could be, but we can't prove it. They have provided a list of cashers who they will steal the caches from.
Wow, that's organized. Is organized. Can you just imagine the calling card? Smelly toes. I'm just saying. Oh, my God. The infamous smelly toes.
Crikey, what should we call ourselves? Smelly toes.
Well, at least right now we don't have any known major destructors out there. I mean, we've in the past had people that like to destroy very nice caches and post pictures of them on Pinterest.
Yeah, see, and that's just wrong.
So that comes in cycles every once in a while.
About every 3 years or so that raises its ugly head somewhere.
Yeah, there was a couple of guys on like Instagram that were doing it. I can't remember what the hell their name was. But I followed them just because it was like watching it was ridiculous.
Something like We Smash Caches or Geosmashers.
Geosmashers.
You know, and what's the bone? I said bone that they get. I'm just saying, okay, that deserved it. The that makes them want to do this. Is it fame? Is it popularity? Is it something that they're able to put out and say, look, this is what we're doing, Nanners? I mean,
yeah, it's high school kids effing around.
Yeah.
I guess.
That's what I said.
You know?
I'm sorry, Sarah?
For the record, I totally would have done that in high school.
Yeah.
I was going to say, they're probably upset because they couldn't find any porn in it.
There you go. Great big ammo cans, no porn.
No porn.
I'm just saying. There's other things I have found in ammo cans that go that way, but that's a whole different subject. I was going to say, you get the people that every once in a while you'll get the ones, and I don't think it's just the kids. You get the ones that sit there and say, geocaches are nothing more than geotrash, and go with that thing. So because they're geotrash, they go out, beat the stuffing out of geocaches, and leave it, which I never got the logic with that.
The trash.
Yes, exactly. It's like, what? I can see them saying, okay, I will take them away, which you do get those every once in a while, too. Mm-hmm. But I will beat it, throw the trash all over the place, take a picture of it, and then complain that there's trash. I don't get that. That's...
Well, yeah. I suppose if they're posting it, you can at least have a go at tracking back who the culprits are.
I think
but you can never be totally 100% sure. You know, I mean, it's even if unless somebody saw them do it, you know, I mean, what's the? Yeah. There's no total way to prove it, unfortunately.
Yeah, and as long as we have people, we're going to have anarchists.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's true.
We had a rogue cacher apparently in Wellington before. A couple of years before I started caching, who did, and I've talked to a few people who've been in the game for a while and knew him, but he did things like have more sock puppet accounts than you care to mention, and oh, five good friends, whatever. was the first to find addict. Had been known to take other people's cases and repurpose them for his own ones elsewhere. But the last straw that eventually got him banned and his account locked, and we're talking with a guy with about 9,000-ish fines, was he nicked a puzzle sheet, a solved puzzle sheet from somebody else. And with that, they were able to get enough evidence to get Groundspeak to...
Because he stole something, then that was enough for him to get something.
It was just the thing that tipped it over the edge and the one thing they could prove.
Wow.
Yeah, because the sock puppet counts, it's kind of hard to prove. Although just about every geocaching area has at least one sock puppeter.
Sure.
So I'm sure Chicago has a few. I'm sure you guys out in Carolina's a few. Yeah. We had a few in Houston. We got a few out here. I knew who most of the ones were in our area, or highly suspected.
And it's like, if they go through all this extra work just to do things, where is that worth it? I mean, to go up, make the extra accounts, use it. I mean, it's instead of just either leave it alone or play the game.
Right.
And it's like, why? Why? What do you get from it? I wish Amy was here. At least she has a degree in psychology. She could tell me something about it. But it's like, what the hey?
I suppose it's a version of get the numbers up.
Yeah, something, I guess. But I mean, a lot of the different geocachers that I've heard over the years, where something's ticked them off, and sometimes it could be the littlest things, like okay, a deleted log that might be major to somebody, especially if it's something that counts and it goes like that, and they get upset over things like that. I'm not justifying, but I'm just saying, but just not getting their way because a reviewer didn't agree with something that they wanted to put for a hide, or and it's a lot of times it's legitimate reasons. It's just, well, I want it here, and they don't get it, and then they get all this ticked off about stuff. Fortunately, at least from what I see, it's not a rampant thing. And I guess the term rogue really does kind of leave that a little more appropriate to the way that Larry put it, because you don't see it every day.
No. And, I've really only seen one kind of personally where I observed it and blew the whistle, and it was an armchair logger on the Ape Cache in Brazil, because I follow that Ape Cache. And it just happened to, I saw this cacher on there, and it's like, and I kind of sometimes look at the profiles, and it's like, okay, he has 20 finds. Okay, this is his first day finding. He has cache finds in just about every continent. Oh, they're all the high favorited cache. What the hell is this guy doing? I let Intervales, which is Junior down there, who watches the Ape Cache, know, because he's the owner. He took over the ownership of the cache after Joe GPS passed away. Know that, hey, you got an armchair logger here. I don't know what you want to do about it. I would send him a message and let him know that, you really need to find it. I actually wound up sending the guy a message before asking him, what the deal is. And he tried to play it off like, oh, he's been caching for years, but he lost his account information and can't get back in. Can't get back in there. It's like, you got an email address, right?
Yeah. It's like,
can you recover your friggin' your account? I'm calling bullshit on this. Pardon me. Eventually it got back to Groundspeak, and Groundspeak axed his account.
Yeah. You know what this makes Chad, don't you? He's a troll.
He's a police.
I'm a narc. Geocaching narc.
God. Yeah, we had a couple here. If anybody ever listened to the Chicago Geocacher podcast, you know exactly the people I'm talking about. I'm not going to name names here. But they actually finally, and I used to give them a hard time all the time, and they used to give me a hard time, and they finally got Groundspeak finally banned him. I mean, finally, yeah. Like, they are banned. That they like, they were, they'd be like banned for like a couple of months, and then they come back and banned for a couple of months, and finally they're like, no, you're done. And like, they killed, they even killed sock puppets, like sock puppet accounts we knew they had. They even killed those too.
Wow.
Yeah, and then what happened is all of a sudden after they got banned forever, all our caches started going missing.
Oh, like, don't you love that little payback?
All the caches around the sun. I'd replace it and it'd be gone the next day. You know, it's like, yep.
Wow.
Well, this guy was from France, so I'm pretty sure he was flying over to find my cache. If he's not really going anywhere to find caches in the first place, I don't think he's going out and destroying people's caches.
Mon dieu.
So, I mean, it happens. It's Larry. It happens. I mean, it is. You know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't sweat over it, but unfortunately, that's just the way it works.
Yeah. And when it comes to so let's nail it down to Larry's thing here. You've got a geocacher who is a gold member. He or she. What would you do for this particular person? Is there anything that you can do to either sway or, you know, is there anything that you can do for a person that ends up being, you know, a member of geocaching and now what?
Yeah, I mean, I think he did what he could do. And you know, I've done it with cachers who have not found, I know they haven't found my cache. You know, they even kind of said they didn't find the cache, but they're logging it as a find because my cache was missing. And it's like, no, we don't play the game that way.
Yeah.
You know, and they're usually new. And I explained it to them. It's like, that's a red herring, blah, blah, blah. You know, you come back after you get some experience. But, you know, here's a bunch of caches. You know, I've got a list of caches. Here's a bunch of caches that you might want to go check out that aren't too far by. That, and you'll get a more comfort level as to what different types of geocaches are out there. You know, I try to help them out.
Right. You know, educate first.
Educate first. But, you know, there's some people that just aren't going to take it.
Yeah,
and there's nothing you can do about them.
No, I agree. Yeah,
okay, I suppose also it's that we're a digital community, rather, you know, the rogue caches are the ones you probably won't, the newbies especially, the ones you won't meet at an event. Say, hey, come out with me for an afternoon, and I'll show you how to find a few of them.
Yeah, very good point. Very good point.
Yeah, I mean, I learned a hell of a lot from a couple of caches. I went caching with for a while. Just sheer, how the heck did you think to look that way?
Right, and that was one of the things after when I first got in there, and I was corresponding with an individual over a puzzle cache. I think I had like 10 finds at the time or something, and he suggested that I come to an event, and I came to the next event, which was like a week later, and started talking to people, and you started going out caching with them, and yeah, I picked up a lot from that.
Sure. Mm-mm-mm. Are there many, I guess it wouldn't be I wouldn't think as much a premium member, but to me, a lot of the stuff that I hear where damage does happen with geocaches is the ones that are flippant. They don't care. They're out there doing stuff. They don't care if they hide it back of the way it's supposed to. They don't necessarily close the containers like they should, and just continuously ruin things that way.
And there's people who cannot figure out a field puzzle type cache, a gadget cache, and decide that they're going to take it apart. They're going to get to it in some way, and they don't do it very well, and they don't put it back the way they found it. Well, and those drive me batty.
Yeah,
yeah. There's nothing more frustrating than when you have a field puzzle and you solve it, and it's one of those, you know, like one of those things, and then you can't put it back together. Yeah. That was the worst. I once had one. It was 110 degrees outside, and there's mosquitoes everywhere. And I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me with this! You know, like, I finally got it open, and I couldn't get it back. It was horrible.
That's like when you go to find the bison tube, and you unscrew the base of it, and then you go and can't find the cap that was put. Same thing. It's like, doggone it, it's 110 out. The birds are after me. The mosquitoes are eating me. The poison ivy's up to my elbows, and I can't find the dang cap.
Yep.
And the next
I've done that, and I've just unintentionally destroyed one cache and unintentionally had the other cache float down the river. So
I've seen caches dropped into sewers where they go to put them back on the cap and bloop. It's like, whoops.
Oops.
Yeah. Mm. But anyhow, yeah, so there's a lot. Yes.
Yeah, the other flip side is where cache owners perhaps haven't been as thoughtful with the placements as they could have been. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
The environment gets trashed with people trying to search.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that happens all the time, sure.
Either crap coordinates, or perhaps they really shouldn't have hidden it there anyway.
Yeah. My favorite is the company or whatever has, you know, several thousand dollars worth of landscaping, and they decide that's a great place to put the bison tube.
I hate seeing that when you see just a whole thing trampled around.
Yeah.
Or you see bushes with holes in them because, you know, you know the cache. There used to be a cache over there because you can see the bushes all have like big holes in them.
Peepholes from pulling apart. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's so sad how bushes get destroyed.
I know it. Yeah, you really got to think of what's happening. And then you wonder, you know, and you hear people saying, well, the parks won't let us put geocaches in here. Gee, I wonder why. Wow.
Yes, that's why I was thinking of putting a couple out when I was in the UK with my parents, but I decided against it because I just haven't got time to scope out an area, get land, find out who the landowner is, and check what the placement rules are. And okay, I'm lazy, but
yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to look here while we're doing this. I know we got a couple minutes before we close up here, but I saw a article and I didn't get a chance to read it, but I did see the video. And it's starting to happen. We talked about before with Pokemon Go and AR and all the different things that are going on with this. Somebody has actually figured out, and I don't know the specifics on it. Like I said, if I find the article, I'll spread it out in the show notes. But they have figured out a way of using GPS positioning, and you can take your phone with this particular app and point it at where the GPS position is. They have words. All they got right now is text, like words painted in paint, the old paint program, where when you look at it, you are actually looking at behind the words. And it said something like geocaching rocks or something like that. And then you could actually go around where the GPS point is and the words would fix. So you could actually turn around and actually see the words that way. So AR is coming to geocaching.
The iPhone 8 and the iPhone 10, it has AR on it.
Yeah.
You know, and so I haven't gotten one, so I haven't played with it at all, but like to see, I mean, just to create something with it. Yeah, but you'd have to have an iPhone 8 or a 10.
Yeah, it's going to come, though. It's one of those things. I knew it would, and I knew eventually you're going to be able to get in some serious
It'll be graphics. A puzzle cache. It'll be a puzzle cache.
Yeah. So I was very excited to see that today.
Yeah.
I can imagine the old guard who only ever used their GPS because they're going to be up howling at that.
Well, it's like a chirp. I mean, only certain GPSs use a chirp. You know.
Yeah.
The few of those around, I've not gone for them because I don't have a GPS with a chirp. And my phone's not enabled for it.
That's all right.
You got an iPhone, right? So I think it's the iPhone 6 and beyond. There is an app that you can use to actually pick up chirps.
Yep.
It will pick up an amp plus signal. So the Androids had it for a while, but. Android phones that have AMP plus chipsets in them.
Yep.
And I'll look right now. Hold on, I'm looking right now.
And there's
should I look up chirp? What am I look up?
iPhone chirp.
iPhone chirp?
Yeah. While Scott's looking that up, another bit of news that I saw yesterday that I put out on Facebook, they are predicting next year's phones will be down to centimeters. Inaccuracy with GPS.
Yeah.
Centimeters.
I was reading into that. I mean, it's basically using the L5 and the E5. So L5 is another band that, which has, it's supposed to the military's been using it for a few years now, and they actually allowed it for the civilian use about 3 or 4 years ago. And then on the Galileo satellites, the E5 is a similar one. I'm questioning whether it actually gets you down to that. When I went in and read the Broadcom's page on it stuff, it did not specify anything
about like that.
Anything like that.
So I was like, taken in by fake news, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't know if it's fake news or over wishful thinking. I think it will help improve accuracy, especially on.
Well, he said in cities it'll be better.
When you have cloud cover and stuff, because that band is actually at the signal level is actually a little bit stronger as well on that band and signal strength, and so it will actually penetrate the clouds and stuff a little bit better. So it'll help some. I don't think we're really gonna see we're not gonna be able to say ding. I'm standing on top of it.
Yeah. The funny part is all the people with GPS units went, wait a minute. What do you mean? So, yeah, we'll see.
It's only whatever the person who placed the case used to get their coordinates.
And you always have that. You always have that.
5 meters out. It's going to be 5 meters out.
Yes. So it's interesting, but there's a lot of technological stuff that's going on, and I thought that was pretty cool. Hey, Scott, any luck with your chirp?
Well, I'm working on it. I'm not seeing anything yet.
All right.
I'll send you the information. There's some things in the forums that are out there on it, but I'll send you the information because it's out there.
Yeah,
and so I know someone that actually uses it. So
oh really?
Oh cool.
Yeah, I'd just like to share it with the listeners.
We'll share with the listeners next week or so if you get it.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get it.
Excellent. All right. I think that's
not tech speak for the those of us that don't want to really get into the details. That'd be great.
You can turn it on and you can turn it off.
That's about my level.
All right, I think it's time for it's 4:30 in the morning in France, and I think it's time for Sarah to actually get a little sleep. And I want to thank Sarah for being the brave soldier and coming on tonight, because I don't think any of us would, Sarah. I'm just saying so, but thank you very much for.
No problem. It means I can skive off for a couple of other weeks.
There you go. I want to thank Scott and Chad for everything that they do. And we want to thank you fine folks for stepping on by each and every week with the Geocaching Podcast. All right, let's move on. Thank you for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Chad Courtney, and Sarah T.S. The show is copyright 2017 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.